again, we repeat the invitation and welcome to come to the meeting tonight. And we trust that you might see beyond the preacher. We recognize the preacher is nothing. It's God's word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we trust that tonight you might come to know the most important thing in life, to know that your sins are forgiven and that you're bound for heaven. Now, the gospel will be preached in this hall on Sunday at 6:30 by the speaker, Mr. John Bennett. Do come along. I'm sure it'll be a pleasure to see you and to encourage those here this evening. Now, I have four portions of scripture I'd like to read. The first you'll find is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, please. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse number 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now back to Luke's Gospel, please, in chapter 4. The Gospel according to Luke in chapter 4. And verse 16, and he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister or the servant, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now over to the Epistle to the Philippians, please, and chapter 4. Philippians and chapter 4, verse number 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be in the same mind in the Lord. And I treat thee also that through your fellow help those women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. And finally, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And we are sure that God's word will not return unto him void. But perhaps you observe the connection. There are four books that we've read about tonight, but they all mainly hinge upon the first one in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7 we read about the volume of the book. The volume of the book, it is written of me. I have entitled that God's purpose, or if you like, God's plan. Secondly, in Luke chapter 4, you read about the Lord Jesus opening the book of Isaiah. He found a distinct verse, and that day he read quite a number of things that was his to fulfill. To preach the gospel to the poor, to give deliverance to the captive, and so on. And then it says this, he closed the book. But before doing that, he said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to labor on that point and think of the preaching presently in relation to the day of grace, the acceptable year of the Lord. Then we read about two women, and it said concerning them whose names are in the book of life, the book of life. And our earnest prayer and the prayer of the Christians here is, and if as yet you have not had your name in that book, the book of life, this might be the night when you might know and experience that your name can be written in the book of life. So we're terming that persons in general, if they accept the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, their name can be in the book of life. And finally, very briefly, we'll perhaps touch chapter 20 of Revelation. And we read about books. And we read, and whosoever was not found written. Now, it doesn't say their name there. Names omitted. I often used to preach and say their names, but it doesn't say that. Whosoever is the individual. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Could I say it tenderly? Were cast into the lake of fire, hell, and finally, the lake of fire. So you can see that the important thing is to have your name in the book of life. Let's think of God's purpose as we think of our first simple point. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. If you were to read the Bible, and we're going to take this as the volume of the book, if you were to read God's Word, and by the way, it is still the best seller in the world, but we cannot say it's the best book that's read in the world. I wonder if you've read your Bible today. I wonder if you've ever read the Word of God. Here is a book, and it tells us about things that happened before this world were created. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. See, the person that stands out preeminently in this book, the Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 6, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And so, the volume of the book, the Word of God, is testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. When the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, and was raised from the dead, and appeared to two, it says this, and beginning at Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets, he spake unto them the things concerning himself. The five first books in the Bible are called the book of Moses. And so Moses spake of him. And then he mentions the Psalms. And as we read the Psalms speak of the Lord Jesus. And as we read of the prophets, whether it's minor or major prophets, they speak of him. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, said the Lord Jesus. And so we consider the importance of God's word. As we think of God's purpose, long before these words were recorded, and long before this wonderful creation with all its order came into being, the Bible here teaches us God's purpose and God's plan. And what is God's purpose? Well, God's purpose was this, that before Adam disobeyed God and brought sin into the world, notice the little phrase, sin entered into the world. Now that teaches us that death came through Adam's sin. And all kinds of death came because of that. So that would be the death knell to the theory that we're hearing so much today about millions of years previous. There was no death before Adam sinned. He brought it in. Romans chapter 8 teaches us this. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth. It has affected every sphere of creation. Now we're on holiday and sometimes we go down to the park, the Silverdale Park, down the Oaks where we're living. And the Bible speaks about being as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, we feed the doves. And you know, in the last 3 to 4 days, we've seen one or two particular doves, and they're fighting against one another. Harmless as doves. Creation has affected the most gentlest, docile-looking creatures we would think about. And it teaches us that sin has affected every sphere in God's beautiful creation. And so we think of God's purpose. Before Adam sinned, God had a plan. Before Adam disobeyed God, God had a purpose. We read in the Epistle to Peter these words, that the Lord Jesus, who was called the Lamb, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That is, before this world came into being. Before God created this world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Before that, God had someone in mind, in order that we creatures might be reconciled to God, might be brought back to God. Now God created man, Adam, in his own image. And I would suggest that man's great purpose in relation to God's creation was this, that he was a responsible creature. He had to obey God, the Creator. God blessed him in abundance, no prohibition but one. And there was Adam, the masterpiece of God, the representative of God, because he was to have dominion over the works of his hand. Man was put on the earth to rule over the earth. Now not Jupiter, not Mars, but this planet, Earth. And God's purpose was that man would be populated here on earth. And we think of a man who was to come. Now that brings me to my point in Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to notice the little phrase. I'm going to take time to read it aright. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, that is the Lord Jesus. Then he said these words, verse 7, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So there is God's first man, and he was made after the similitude of Adam, in the sense of Adam was a representative man for God, and he disobeyed God. So we thought of sin entering. By one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. But sin not only entered. We read in Romans chapter 5 that sin abounded. Abounded. What does that mean? Well, once a man or woman is a sinner, and we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And as we consider this, and we look at man speaking generally, Sin doesn't stagnate. Sin just didn't remain there. Sin entered. And then says Romans chapter 5, sin, listen to it, abounded. Well, it's increased and increased. Before I was converted, I remember started smoking as a young boy. And sometimes I just got a draw of a cigarette. And then maybe I would get the butt, what we call the end part of the cigarette. And then I would start moving one more, maybe one cigarette. And then 5 cigarettes, and then 10 cigarettes, and then 20. What was happening? Sin was abounding, and increasing, and increasing. And then Romans chapter 5 goes on to say, not only did sin enter through man, not only did sin abound, but it says this, sin reigned. It had dominion over me. I couldn't stop, because it had dominion, authority over me. I was a slave to sin. And so likewise, you and I, every one of us, listen to the language of Scripture. Where sin abounded, grace did superabound. Oh, the wonder tonight of the gospel. Here we are. Have you a besetting sin? That's why we speak about alcoholics, drug addicts, gamblers, pride. It's all sin. And it's something that takes root in the heart. You know, one of the prevailing sins today, and the Bible is so up to date, you see, it teaches us these things. Listen to what the Word of God says. The love of money is a root of all evil. Is that true today? What will men and women do for money? Now, it's not the money itself, it's the love of it. And tonight, we consider our hearts. It's in your heart than mine. I constituted a sinner because I practice these things. Sin entered. Sin abounds. Sin reigns. But thank God there is one who has come to deliver, to free you from any besetting sin. And tonight, that is the great truth of the gospel. What was God's purpose? What was God's plan for you and I? Listen to the words of Scripture, as we've read them in the book of Hebrews. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, where Adam failed in disobedience. The Lord Jesus moved from moment to moment, morning by morning, right throughout his life. And the Bible says this concerning him. I came to do thy will. Adam disobeyed God. Adam failed to hearken to God. Sin entered, sin abounded, sin reigned, sin has authority over me. But there's one who comes, and he never sinned. You see, he was God manifest in flesh. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so there comes a time, as the volume of the book is recording, it's written of me. And we thought of Moses, the first 5 books of the Bible. And one of the only promises in the Bible is this, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. That is Satan's head. The Bible says in Exodus, in relation to the Passover, thou shalt take a lamb, thou shalt scrutinize it from the 10th to the 14th day. It had to be without spot and blemish. That lamb's blood was shed. It was sacrificed. And the word's called the Passover. The judgment was Passover. I believe in Corinthians that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Did we not read in Hebrews chapter 10, the blood of bulls and goats could never, never, never take away sin. Would you like to have your sins taken away? The root that you and I have been trying to emphasize. Well, these animal sacrifices could only cover sin. Every year it was repeated year by year. But the man we're thinking about who says, Lo, I come. It says, he taketh away sin. Not covers it. Takes it away. If I had read on in this chapter, he says, Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that wonderful? For the soul-stricken sinner, convicted and troubled, to hear and realize and recognize and appreciate tonight that all your sins can be blotted out, forgiven, never called to remembrance. And so in the volume of the book that's written of me. Now that teaches me, if you've been listening carefully, that this person existed before Bethlehem. That teaches me that this person existed before the world was created. This person that we're speaking about was God's eternal Son. With God, was God, but became flesh. A body hast thou prepared me. What for? To do thy will. And where Adam failed in disobedience and sin entered, sin abounded, sin reigned, here's one man. Listen to the words of God. In him is no sin. He did no sin. But the Bible says he was made sin for us. How was that? Well, that brings me to my second point. When we consider the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he became flesh, in other words, the virgin birth. Prophesied, predicted, foretold, about 700 years before it actually came to place. A virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary was the virgin. And the body was prepared and conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that little babe in Bethlehem has come. Lo, I come. I enter into the world. I made the world. Says John, he was in the world. The world was made by him. But the world knew him not. They didn't recognize their creator, their Messiah, the Savior. And dear friend, tonight, as we think of the coming in of the Lord Jesus, what was it to do? To do God's will. What was God's will for him? Well, to heal the leper, to cleanse the leper, to give sight to the blind, to give deliverance to the captive that we've been speaking about, reigning, dominion, and besetting sins. Here was the one who could do all that. He could raise the dead. He could cleanse the leper. He could give sight to the blind. These are all figures of speech in relation to spiritual conditions. Sometimes we do not see beauty in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we fail to recognize why he came, who he was when he came. But tonight we think of one with a body prepared, who was holy, who was harmless, who was undefiled, and was separate from sinners. Visualize a man lying prostrate on the ground. Oozing from his pores was great drops of sweat like blood. Crying in agony of soul, anticipating Calvary and its tremendous load. And what is he saying? Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. That's what Adam says, I'll have my own way, my will. But thy will be done. He was anticipating Calvary, where God was to bear, me to bear upon him, the sin of the world. He was called the sin bearer of the world. And so we consider the purpose of his coming. It was to save you and I from sin. It was to deliver us from the sins that we've been mentioning, and far more. And so we read in the scriptures, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, for your sin and meeting tonight, for my sin. What was the purpose of his coming? Jesus, my Savior, took Calvary's tree, bore the great debt that my soul may be set free. And the wonder of Calvary is that he died on behalf of sinners like you and I. He came to obey God's will right to the death of the cross. He was obedient unto the shameful death. What is the penalty for sin? Death. by sin. For death is passed upon all men. He was prepared to die on behalf of sinners, that you might be free from your sin, that your sin might be forgiven. And we're living in what we call now the day of grace, the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord Jesus died at Calvary when he bore judgment. He knew the manner of his death. The volume of the book says it must be crucifixion. They pierce my hands and my feet. He knew the moment of his death. My hour is now come. But tonight the important thing for you is, do you know the meaning of his death? It was for you. It was for me. The meaning of the Lord Jesus coming into this world to die and bear the judgment for sin. He who was made sin was for you and for me. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout, he died for me. My Lord and King. And almost 50 years ago, as a young fellow in my late teens, I recognized it was for me. It was for me. It was for you tonight. And so we think of a day of grace. What is God doing? What is God's plan? The Lord Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached, and that word preached is mentioned three times in Luke's gospel. To preach, to preach, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And 2006 is the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of grace. You know, he did a remarkable thing that day. He closed the book after saying that. You say, well, what's important about that? Because the next verse says, and the vengeance of our God. You see, he has the title deeds of this world. And there's a lot of judgments in Revelation. And all judgments committed to the Son. But he closed the book and says, this is the day of grace when you can be saved. When your sins can be forgiven. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And Adam disobeyed. God says, before you be blessed, you must obey the gospel. You must obey. You must say, yes, I am the sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Bow in repentance towards God. Place faith in that man. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever. No repetition. No yearly sacrifice. Once and for all, he appeared to put away sin. And your sin can be put away tonight. Your sin, which are many, can be forgiven tonight. If you'll only accept him. You must believe the message. You must obey the gospel. I say, if they have not all obeyed the gospel, who have believed our report, will you bow in repentance tonight and say, I see God's plan. I see God's purpose. He sent his Son to be the Savior. He's going to be my Savior tonight. I'm going to believe and accept him. And your name will be written in the book of life. God's register, as it were. God's interested in individuals. God will have all men to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He died that you might be saved from hell and the lake of fire and saved from sins. And so, these two women, their names were in the book of life. God's register. That brings me to my last point, as my time is more or less gone. And whosoever was not found written, not in a church row, not in a memorial of any kind, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, God has pleaded with men for nearly thousands of years. The last 2,000 years is the day of grace. God has been speaking and speaking and speaking. Perhaps he's spoken to you during these meetings. Will you respond? Would you like to know the knowledge of sins forgiven? Why not yield and seek the Lord? Well, he may be found. Find the meaning of his coming. It was for me. I want to be my Savior tonight. Well, the Bible says that you're going to be judged. And all judgment without exception, is according to your works. And the greatest, the most heinous sin that you can commit is not adultery, not fornication, is rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you bow to God's great offer of salvation. May you seek Him. May you believe Him. How important it is. For remember, heaven is forever, to be forever with the Lord. But remember this, hell and the lake of fire is also forever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Shall we pray? Father, we bow before Thee and give thanks again for Thy wonderful grace towards the children of men. We never cease to wonder as we thought of the plan of salvation, to think that He came, and He came to seek and to save that which was lost. May someone tonight realize their position. We do not know what the day may bring forth. We pray by Thy Spirit to speak to some dear soul, that may seek the Lord while He may be found. So we commend the issues of the meeting, and thank Thee for each person bowed before Thee. Pray Thy blessing upon them in salvation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One verse of 1:2:0. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages round. 'Tis the grandest theme.